Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hit the Books, the only weekly realistic fantasy booking podcast in the known WWE universe. That's right, when the Big Bang happened in the WWE universe, we only explored so much of space, but in our known universe, Mikey, aliens are real, and wrestling is forever WWE, apparently.
Wrestling will forever be WWE, then, now, forever.
Then, now, and forever. It's a cult, in a way. So
indeed it is.
Speaking of cults,
it's a cult, and the way to get in is to apparently shave the beard you've had for so long,
and the way to
be a heel,
and the way to get out is about to start a storyline and then get chopped.
I can't believe how they massacred my boy.
Can we? So a lot has happened.
So we haven't recorded in like 2 weeks, and a ton of stuff has happened in that time.
We recorded back to back episodes. It was before Double or Nothing.
Yeah, it was one before, one after.
So a lot of stuff has definitely happened, and you know, it's not. I'm not entirely happy with the amount of things that have happened because it kind of hurt us. But
kind of.
So where do we begin? So
we got some releases to talk about here.
We're not going to talk about those releases too much because the releases are like three weeks old at this point.
Yeah, but we should just talk about how they affect our card going forward. I think.
Yeah. So on our show, obviously, like if you heard of the last week's episode or 2 weeks ago, and you're like, oh, you guys are still using these characters. It's like, well, yeah, because we recorded early. The one time
we recorded before that all happened.
The one time we record early, Mikey, because
the
of
one
me.
Time we
I'm
record
like, hey.
Early to like get a couple episodes in the bin so we can have a nice break for a week. Fuck, WWE decides to go and chop more people.
Yeah, so a list of people that got chopped: Santana Garrett, which doesn't affect us, of course. She was in.
Nope.
Well, she wasn't in NXT. She was on the main roster, just never shown on TV. But we have lost on Raw Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, and Murphy. And on SmackDown, Braun Strowman and Lana. So, Mikey, just asking you first, what are your thoughts on your releases? And any plans for any of these people you had moving forward? I think that'd be the most interesting part for our show.
Lana, no, unfortunately. I'm just going to come out right off the bat and say that straight up. But Braun Strowman was kind of the linchpin to the Fiend Karrion Kross feud I've been building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without Strowman, this feud doesn't make a lot of sense, because the whole reasoning that Kross gave for fighting the Fiend in Hell in a Cell was to basically cut off the head of the zombie that is Braun Strowman, mm-hmm. the one that's controlling Braun Strowman, who is the Fiend.
Yes.
So the fact that Braun Strowman is now gone, I had to, like, pivot and find a whole new reason for this match to exist.
Yeah, you have to come up with
without,
new reasons.
Without basically the whole reason it existed in the first place.
Yeah, I think you still have, just from an outsider's perspective, a fan perspective, I guess, a smart perspective, I feel like you still have something. I feel like you can easily work something out.
Oh, I did, and it's very dark.
Exciting. It's a little tease for later the show. Yeah, no, I feel like there's something you could do with it. It's just a matter of what. Because the good thing is that you didn't lose a match, really. You already had the Fiend versus Karrion Kross set up.
Yeah, it was. I was originally going to do Braun versus Cross, but then I thought the Fiend versus Cross would be more interesting, and it'd be kind of a new. It would be kind of a new take on this feud instead of just watching Cross and Braun beat the hell out of each other in a different setting.
Yeah,
because we've seen the Strowman Cross match how many times now?
Once or thrice actually. I think they've done.
I think they were in the casket match. They were in. I believe a last man standing match.
And then they had a singles match at one point.
They had a singles match at one point. These two have been feuding for since before Survivor Series.
I believe Cross's debut was him beating Braun Strowman.
Yes. So they've been
linked.
Basically Karrion Kross's existence in my version of SmackDown has been him trying to destroy Braun Strowman, and then a little break in between where he tried to win the Universal Championship for Sami Zayn. But in the end, it always came back to Strowman, and the fact that Strowman just is gone now is going to be a weird hit to Cross's character. I think
you have something where you can work. I think you can work it out. I trust.
Yes,
I
agree.
I feel confident. I think Braun sucks, but I don't think it kills the feud.
No, absolutely. I don't think it kills the feud at all. Like I said, I think I have a decent enough pivot to make this match still work. But like I said, I only lost two people. Ryan, you lost some big names over on Raw. Let's talk about how that. Not only did you lose three people, but you lost three people you were actually using a lot of.
Yep. Three people I was using consistently: Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, and Murphy. So Ruby Riott. I'll go one by one. Who should I go first, Mikey? Because I can tell you
start off with Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott, obviously getting into. I was using her as to try to be the babyface for this new heel Liv Morgan, or not new heel Liv Morgan, but this sort of like crazed,
broken down,
Harley Quinn esque, Liv Morgan. And I wanted her to sort of like try to right her wrongs and try to fix her and try to put her right back on the path of righteousness or whatever. I wanted that for Ruby Riott because I haven't used Ruby Riott versus Liv Morgan since I've had them on the roster. I've kept them apart. Mm-hmm. And now I was about to use them. I was getting to the start of it. I was like 2 or 3 weeks into it. And then I lose Ruby Riott, which I think is a huge loss. The whole impetus of that storyline is now lost, and I have to come up with something new, which sucks. But then, it's also like I wasn't really doing anything necessarily with Ruby Riott. It was just I started now doing something with her, so it sucks. But it's, I guess, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy, U.S. title picture, sort of feuding with Aleister Black, Ciampa, Gable.
A feud, I want to say, I do not know how I still do not know how they dropped the ball on it in real life, because those two are amazing.
Yeah.
I would say Murphy and Black have, like, some absolutely buck wild chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Murphy, I had the new sort of faction around him. I had this new idea. I was not really getting ready to push the faction, but getting ready to actually properly use them, I was excited about. And I was ready. I was going to put him in a U.S. title match. I think it was probably going to be a Fatal 4-Way. I don't know when, but it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to... That whole faction... Dijakovic, Ruas, and Murphy were sort of... I'm still kind of using it that way, but I'm still... I guess I'm reassessing. But that was sort of supposed to be like the gatekeeping faction to when you go up against One Nation. Like, you beat them, and then you go off and go and take on One Nation. That was the purpose of them.
That.
Yeah, it's something for them to do, and I think it works for them. But that's what the meant was. And I still got Dijakovic and Ruas to sort of serve that purpose. But Murphy, like, you beat Murphy, and then you can go up and beat Ciampa, maybe. And then, like, that was the whole idea. And that, I sort of lost that, and I have to come up with something new. And it's sort of disappointing, because I like Murphy. I think he's a really great wrestler. Speaking of really great wrestlers, though, also Aleister Black. I'm very disappointed with Aleister Black. Getting cut. He was going to be my world title match next pay-per-view.
Oy.
At Money in the Bank. At Money in the Bank, it was 100%. It was 100% going to be Roman Reigns versus Aleister Black for the WWE Championship. I had that prepped and loaded. And then SummerSlam was going to be. This is the real tea. I'm going to reveal this, Mikey, because I think this is the big reveal of my future plans. SummerSlam was going to be Keith Lee versus a heel Aleister Black.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
I would have. They've been friends for a very long time in the universe that I've created.
So Aleister Black was supposed to win.
Aleister Black was going to lose against Roman Reigns and blame Keith Lee for it. And then they went to SummerSlam.
Keith Lee was going to win back at some point, or were you just gonna? No. Or was it just okay? I didn't know. I assumed it was when you said it was going to be a heel Aleister Black versus Keith Lee. No. I assumed it was going to be for the title.
No, I didn't think it was going to be for the title.
Now that you've said what you said, I understand that that match doesn't need title stakes because it has the stakes already in it of Aleister Black's revenge.
Exactly, Rice. So I am mad about that because I lost out on two future matches.
Mm-hmm.
I had it all prepped and ready to go, ready to fire. And I lose Aleister Black. Aleister Black was going to be in that U.S. title match, and then basically, like, Roman Reigns causes him to lose, and then Aleister Black was going to go after the WWE Championship, and then he's going to lose that, blame Keith Lee, then they'll fight at SummerSlam. And that was the whole storyline that I had built up. I really enjoy Aleister Black. You know how much I loved him as a character. I used him constantly. He was always in the mix all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a very cool look. I think he has a very... interesting moveset. I think that he has all the tools of the trade. Was I going to strap him up with the world title at any point soon? Like I said, no. I still think I need to build him up more to those sort of things. But you know, eventually, maybe maybe I could have been like you know maybe Aleister Black heel Aleister Black wins it off of. Keith Lee gets it back, and Aleister Black wins the title off of him, like, immediately. Maybe Aleister Black actually wins the Money in the Bank or whatever. You know, wins the Royal Rumble, and that's what happened. I don't know. But all these sort of things. So I lost all this stuff. And it's not only that that hurts me, these top-of-the-card matches and everything, Mikey. It's the fact that I personally feel like my mid-card is not that great. So I've been working hard to build up the mid-card. And by that, I mean, like, in the past, I felt like I didn't have much of a mid-card. So I've been slowly trying to build them up with Ciampa, Murphy, Gable, Black, and I lost half of that in one go. So I'm like, great, now I'm gonna quickly build up new people. I got people in the cauldron, but I just need to, you know, heat them up now.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's not only in your universe I'm upset that Aleister Black is gone, but also in real life. Because those Dark Father promos he was doing were, like, mega sick. And it got me, like, kind of hype because I was, like... It made me think, like, maybe I'll watch WWE again just to see, like, where this goes. Because, man, was I, like... What were those, like, mega cool? Like Aleister Black becoming, like, this, like, supernatural Jim Jones was very cool.
Yeah.
And it got me, like, super hooked for, like, a little bit. And then they caught him, and now I am back on the train of fuck WWE. I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's real easy to be on that train nowadays. I did the math.
They do make it very easy.
Since we started the show, Mikey, back in 2018, right? 2018? Post SummerSlam 2018.
SummerSlam, yeah.
We had 36 people cut. in the past 3 years.
Jesus.
You know, we're talking big names, we're talking small names. We had 36 people cut. A lot of those happened the past year. I can't do the math right away off the top of my head. I don't know off the top of my head, but it's probably at least a third, maybe a half in the past year.
Yeah, we're just losing droves of people here.
Yeah, so it's been real rough, and it makes it even harder storyline-wise, because it's like, what are we going to do? But, you know, we'll figure it out, home stretch.
We persevere and book on.
Exactly right, Mike.
What you do is you tighten up your tie, put a smile on your face, and say the show must go on, and you keep writing and you keep booking until the world burns.
I think also that's like the gimmick almost of our own show, right? Like the whole randomizer concept of the show is that like is creating situations where you're forced to be more creative and figure out a solution. And this is the same sort of thing where it's like, oh, we suddenly lost five people on our rosters between the two of us.
Have to figure out how to write them off.
Yeah, now we figure out how to write them off and come up with new ideas of how, or how to move them forward. You know, mm-hmm. we have to come up with these new things. So yeah. it the whole impetus of like that randomizer and doing these things is, in a way, almost prepped us for this moment, these moments that keep happening. And, you know, you got to roll with it. You got to figure out, like, okay, now this happens. How do I still make something that's interesting?
Weirdly enough, I think that burst of, like, us needing to get that, those creative solutions out kind of, like, fired me up because I start to finish, like, blank card to full card. I wrote my whole thing in, like, maybe an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was, like... I was on a weird level of like just knew it. I knew exactly what I wanted to do this week, and mm-hmm. it was just a matter of writing it all down. You know, like I'm very excited to present my card. I don't know about you.
Me too. I feel very confident that my card is very strong. I really like it. I may maybe cheated on some things to make it to pad it out a little bit, but I think it mm-hmm. works with the stories and everything that I'm going. I've also moved around my pay-per-view card a little bit, too. I've pushed a match back and replaced it with something else.
I can't wait to... Why don't we hear all about it?
Okay, you want to get right into it, then.
Let's get right into it.
I see.
Dude. I think we've been talking for, what, 15 minutes at this point about...
We've been actually talking for 5 days. all of this has got cut out.
We've diatribed long enough about everything that's going on. We don't want to get into too much detail about it because obviously, like you said, it's 2 weeks old at this point.
Yeah,
and I think our Twitter has basically all of our thoughts on this on the matter.
Yeah.
So I think let's just, like I said, the show must go on, right? Let's just get right into the cards and book our go home shows to Hell in a Cell.
Yes, let us do that, Mikey. Let us pray, fall and pray. Can we do that? Let us fall and pray. And he's very religious. What about he becomes a priest, a demon priest? Thoughts? Carrying cross thoughts?
I'm in.
There we go. Crisscross. Okay, yeah, let's start off with our show. If you don't know this show, every single week on Hit the Books, Mikey and I book our own versions of both Raw and SmackDown. So I write Raw, he writes SmackDown. And you know, we don't share them to each other. We share them to each other the first time, and of course you, and at home you can then vote on whose card was even the better, who was the better booker that week. So Mikey, let's get into it with Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, why don't we? Let's hear what you got.
Okay, opening on Monday Night Raw with a huge match. It's a battle
huge
royal.
Match.
Battle royal. The huge part being the number of participants, I guess. It is a United States Championship or United States number one contendership battle royal.
Oh boy,
we got 19. Oh, I could put one more person in, make it 20 man. I don't have any other people. God damn it, I don't have any other people. But it's a battle royal, number one contenders battle royal for the United States Championship. Participants are Mikey, Ricochet, R-Truth, Chad Gable, Otis, Tony Nese, Angel Garza, Titus O'Neil, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Eric Ivar, Birch, Lorcan, Reed, Atlas, Ziggler, Rude, Dijakovic, and Ruas.
Ooh, okay.
Nice mix of mid card, lower card, and tag team participant people.
Yeah, solid. Solid list here.
Of course, during the match, Angel Garza brought Mandy Rose out with him. During the match, she gets kicked out by the referee for thinking she cheated. But really, it was Angel Garza who cheated.
Of course.
So he thinks it was Mandy Rose, so Mandy Rose gets kicked out.
Oh, no. That sucks. I listen, you hate to see it, but you also love to see the ref do the, you're out of here.
You love to see it. Final four, Mikey, are going to be Garza, Gable, Ruas and Ricochet.
You had me at Garza and Gable. I thought it was going to be just like a bunch of people with G last names.
No. But we got the G and R's.
Ruas, the G and R's.
Yes. Garza, Gable, Ruas, and Ricochet. Ruas throws out Ricochet. Gable throws out Ruas. So the final two are going to be Garza and Gable. You get those two J's in there. Sorry, two J's, two G's, G's. And it was GG for Garza because Chad Gable threw him out. Chad Gable wins and is your number one contender for the United States Championship.
Woo! All right. Gable getting a big shot here. I'm excited.
Yes, yes. And that match is going to take place at Hell in a Cell. I'm pushing back the tag team match with Lucha House Party and One Nation, and instead we're replacing it with the Chad Gable versus Tommaso Ciampa United States Championship match.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
Why am I doing that? Just because I think that match has more fire to it than the Lucha House Party one. But the Lucha House Party one is still going to happen. It's still going to happen. I was going to do it this episode, but then I was like, I got a better idea for something else. So we'll push it back until next week. Next up, though, we got a segment. Paul Heyman, your, I guess, general manager, comes on screen. He's sort of upset.
Your general manager, raw head, I don't know, whatever the title is these days.
Exactly. He says that he tried everything in his power to ensure Ciampa did not have to worry about his United States Championship, but alas, Gable was able to slip through. Interesting little nod there to people that might have been fired. But no matter, because there are bigger fish to bigger fish in One Nation, and that is, of course, my boss, Roman Reigns. You see, I have been tasked by the Tribal Chief to ensure Keith Lee does not make it to Hell in a Cell, and tonight is meant for one last effort. Tonight, Keith Lee, you will be facing Akira Tozawa, Tommaso Ciampa, and Apollo Crews in a gauntlet match.
You'll be facing Akira Tozawa and his clone.
Yes, we've cloned him, finally.
It's because he's a ninja and he like shadow clone jutsu'd himself like in Naruto and he's made a bunch of clones of himself.
Sure. I know exactly what you're talking about, of course.
anime references.
Facing all three of the members of One Nation in a gauntlet match. You make it through, congratulations, you got the Tribal Chief in a Hell in a Cell match on Sunday. But if you don't make it through, Keith Lee, well, that's still great for us, because you still have the Tribal Chief on Sunday. Arrive in a sling or a stretcher, I don't care, you are going to be in that ring, and Roman Reigns will knock you down. What we care about, all that we care about, is that Roman Reigns, your Tribal Chief, will still be your WWE Champion.
I dig it. I'm in. You got me hooked on Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. You got me hooked on basically Roman Reigns being in charge of Raw.
Yeah.
Like the champion being in charge is so cool. And I cannot wait. Like I said, I think you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. You have like basically now with this new thing, you have like a full year of just One Nation storylines that you can use and go with. That I'm very excited to see all of them and where this whole faction goes and where Roman goes and who's going to be the one to finally take him down.
Yes, it all comes down to who is it going to be. Do you have any idea, based on our roster, who do you think would be able to be the person that takes down Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns. Let me look at your Raw roster here. See if there's any names that stick out.
The question becomes...
The big name that sticks out here is Drew McIntyre, but that's definitely... I don't think that's it. I don't think he's the one.
A solid pick.
I'm going to go with a little bit of a swerve here.
Isaiah Swerve Scott, bold move.
Oh, yeah.
Hit row, baby. If you don't know, now you know.
I got to think about what I say before I say it.
Every word has been co-opted into some sort of WWE thing.
I think the one that's going to take down Roman Reigns is going to eventually be Tommaso Ciampa.
Ooh, interesting. That's an interesting take.
I think that's gonna be the case. This is why I'm thinking that. Because Tommaso Ciampa was since going to Raw has been in charge of One Nation. He has been the leader, he has been the backbone of One Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Roman stepping in the way he did and suddenly becoming the leader and kind of pushing Ciampa down a peg, he might be a little salty about that. He might be a little upset about that. So I think eventually Ciampa might get a little fed up and maybe turn his back on Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like, and it'll be like Roman with like a reluctant Tozawa and Cruz on his side still.
Yeah.
But like they're kind of wavering because like Ciampa was like their guy, you know? So it's exactly. Like they're like it's like Roman versus Ciampa with like the other members of One Nation kind of like waffling between who they want to sign with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be very interesting. And I think Ciampa eventually taking down Reigns could be very, very cool. Uh-huh. And maybe see, like, this is going to sound weird as fuck, but, like, a face One Nation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's weird. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I don't right off the bat who would be the person. I do like the Ciampa storyline. I think there's also a possibility, you know, with drafts and whatnot, it could be someone on SmackDown. And by that, I mean King Corbin, of course. But we'll get to that road, I guess, eventually. Next up, we have a backstage segment. Angel Garza is all mad at Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke for Mandy Rose getting kicked out of the battle or getting kicked out as his manager for the Battle Royal. He essentially blames Mandy Rose and tells her that he needs to take some time. He needs to take some time and think. So Angel Garza is sort of I would argue maybe gaslighting her, but he's
maybe
he's probably gaslighting her. They're on a break or whatever, and very much so that Angel Garza is not in Mandy Rose's corner for the next match. Instead, it is Dana Brooke. Mandy Rose taking on Io Shirai.
Ooh.
With Rhea Ripley on commentary, Io Shirai does pick up the victory, and it is they get another stare down. I feel like I've done 5 stare downs in a row with Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai, but yeah, they got a match coming up on Sunday, so there's that.
I'm into it. Build up the tension.
Yeah, just build up the fact that there's a match between the two. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. Backstage, MVP walks into the LLC locker room, and Cesaro and Lashley are yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
MVP yells back, you know, asking what's wrong. Cesaro says that they aren't winning any matches. If that's not the point, then why are we even here? Lashley says it's not about winning, it's about making money, and that's what they're doing. MVP tells Cesaro that, you know, things are starting to turn around, but in the meantime, you know, if you know what's best for you, you have to keep taking the money. And then MVP puts the money in Cesaro's jacket pocket. Cesaro tells MVP that you can keep your money, and he storms out of the locker room.
Ooh, okay.
Dissension. All right.
LLC finally at a breaking point here.
Yes, they're
it was coming for a while.
There's dissension in the ranks.
Yeah.
Moving right along, we got the gauntlet match, Mikey. The gauntlet match is up next. It is going to be Keith Lee versus Akira Tozawa starting off the match. Of course, back and forth action. Keith Lee gets the win.
All right. Okay. Who's next?
Keith Lee is still hurt. Like, he, like, obviously, had his arm, like, broken or whatever a number of weeks ago. So he's still hurting. He's still not great, but it's not.
He's basically wrestling each match with one arm here.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Keith Lee versus Tommaso Ciampa, the United States champion. During the match, the referee gets knocked out. And Ciampa attempts to hit Keith Lee with the United States Championship, but Chad Gable runs out to make the stop, basically allowing Lee to use that distraction to his advantage and hit a powerbomb.
All right.
So Keith Lee gets another win over Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay. All right. That's wild. Keith Lee is just taking out the squad here with a bum arm.
Exactly. We do get a little, you know, we cut the commercial, we come back, we get a little video package showing that Ciampa and Gable are brawling in the backstage area, eventually having to be separated at some point, but they were brawling backstage.
Wow.
And finally, your last match, of course, is Keith Lee versus Apollo Crews. This one ends with a DQ finish when the rest of One Nation come out to beat down Keith Lee. The One Nation there being, I guess, Akira Tozawa and Roman Reigns come out to beat down Keith Lee along with Apollo Crews.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So Keith Lee gets the win, but it's a disqualification. So, you know,
Keith Lee quote unquote gets the win.
Yes.
As a technicality. But yes, he is beaten down. One Nation still is on top here.
Yeah, and then the final segment here, Roman and Heyman, you know, they're Roman and Heyman, the One Nation, are all admiring their own work. You know, Keith Lee is a beaten and bruised pulp in the middle of the ring there. So as they're leaving, Lee is able to crawl over, grab a microphone, and Lee says to Roman that, you know, he has he's had his friend taken from him, his WWE Championship, and at this rate, my arm and the rest of my body. But I've gone through hell, and I'm still kicking. Our match is still happening. I can come in a full body cast, but that won't stop me then. You won't be able to stop me, Roman. And this Sunday, I will truly show you the meaning of limitless.
I love it. I love this from Keith Lee. Just, like, beaten down, battered, bruised, just constantly just getting destroyed by One Nation, but absolutely refusing to give up, and just continues to spit right back in their face.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome.
He can be beaten down, but it's not gonna stop him.
I've said it once and I'll keep saying it, Ryan. I love what you've done with One Nation. I love what you've done with Keith Lee.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's all about putting over your star. It's all about making stars. You know, you gotta
give them purpose. Absolutely are with Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, I think, you know, you gotta make him look good. Make him look, you know, not necessarily unstoppable, but it comes the tough part now of deciding the winner at Hell in a Cell this Sunday.
Oh, always the worst part of any feud is finishing it.
Finishing it, picking a winner. Gotta figure that out, I guess. So that is Monday Night Raw. Mikey, thoughts, comments, questions, concerns?
Really, really, like I can see why you were excited about this card. Mm-hmm. It was very good, top to bottom. A lot of great pivots with all the people you lost. I think it was an awesome go home show. Keith Lee's promo at the end to close out the show is absolutely a great finish to a great way to lead into the pay per view. The gauntlet match was sweet. The big battle royal in the beginning was great. Gable getting the challenge for that U.S. title and brawling with Ciampa in the back was really awesome. The build to the women's championship match also great. Like you said, the stare downs, right? Just building all that tension, building all that heat. I think you did a great job with that.
I appreciate it. I discovered recently that I was like, why I was like, originally the plan for One Nation was to ensure that Keith Lee doesn't get to the match, but mm-hmm. I've pivoted along with that in this episode to sort of being ensuring that if Keith Lee is going to get to the match, so let's just beat him to a pulp so it'd make it easier for Roman.
Yeah, it's like, at this point, it's like, that One Nation has realized that they can't do anything to stop Keith Lee from being there and competing, yeah. Right? So they're just like you said, might as well just wear him down for Roman while they can.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the idea they pivoted, that Paul Heyman pivoted to, is that, like, look, you're gonna face him on Sunday. Just beat the crap out of him. And that was the whole goal. You know, you could see it even in the second match. Tommaso Ciampa was going to hit Keith Lee with the United States Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the conceit. The conceit was, oh, he was probably going to get two disqualification victories because he was going to get hit by Ciampa and then he's going to be attacked by everyone at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommaso Ciampa got taken out of by Gable. If Black was still here, maybe he could have helped as well, but he's not. So
He's not.
So, you know, he's got what he can.
Yeah.
And that's also the scary. I think for me, the interesting part is that he always had like backup with Aleister Black.
And now Black is gone.
Black is gone. He doesn't really have like a friendship with Gable. He has a respect with Gable, but it's not quite there. So it is this sort of thing of like, okay, where do we go from here now? You know, what's the conceit here?
It's the problem of like, yeah, now Keith Lee is basically all on his own here.
Yep, against an army, practically.
Yeah, yeah, he's taking on an army while he's broken, you know,
yeah.
Himself. And it's like the odds are absolutely stacked against him, and like I said earlier, the way you're building him up and the way you're making it, like, if he doesn't care that the odds are so like not in his favor, he's like, I'm gonna do it anyway. It's like what's the fucking line where it's like, oh, you have like a, I don't even remember what the whole fucking line is, but it's like, So you're saying I have a chance, you know?
Exactly.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You're saying that there's a chance I'll be fine. There's a there's a chance. Yeah, no, that I think that's what Keith Lee, like, the definition of limitless is, to me, is, you know, being able to still go when the when everything is stacked against you.
Yeah.
And I think,
like, I like those odds.
I like those odds like that. But I guess really the term of limitless would be beating those odds.
Yeah.
To me, that's limitless. It's a question of will Keith Lee achieve such a thing this Sunday at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, this Sunday.
Yeah, there's gonna be a Monster Truck Rally inside of Hell in a Cell. Yeah, so that's that. My half of Hell in a Cell is all prepped and ready to go. Roman Reigns versus Keith Lee in a Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Championship. Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai for the Raw Women's Championship. And, of course, Chad Gable versus Tommaso Ciampa for the United States Championship. That Raw Tag Team Championship of One Nation versus Lucha House Party, that got pushed back. So you don't have to worry about it, folks.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Just stop thinking about it, folks.
Just get it out of your heads. Just stop it.
Yeah. Okay, Mikey, that was Raw. Let's see what's happening over on Friday nights.
Yeah, let's get into it. All right, so opening up the show, we got none other than the one who closed out the show last week, Dave Mastiff.
Here you go.
Opens up the show, grabs a mic, and he says, "Last week I defended my Intercontinental Championship against Humberto Carrillo, and we had a hell of a fight. But then afterwards, well, you all saw what happened. Strong, I just want to know why. You always had the opportunity to challenge me and could have had a match for my title whenever you wanted. There was no reason for you to stoop to the levels you did, and yet, here we are. You had to have your boys jump me from behind, and for what? All you had to do was come to me and ask, and the match was yours. I'm calling you out right here, right now. I want an explanation, and I want you to say it to my face." Strong obliges and comes out with Sheamus and Thatcher at his sides, and he has a mic as well, and he says, "Mastiff, you really just don't get it. You keep telling people to come and challenge you because you thought no one stood a chance at beating you. You thought you were the almighty champion. And when you told me you wanted me to challenge you, it made me realize that somewhere in that big head of yours, you think you're better than me. You thought I was just a stepping stone on the way to becoming an Intercontinental Champion all of these idiots can look up to. Last week was your reality check. You were getting way too big for your britches, and we gave you that beatdown last week to remind you that you aren't the invincible champ you think you are. At Hell in a Cell, when I finally get the chance to rip that title from you, I'll make sure the entire world forgets the name Dave Mastiff." Strong and Sheamus leave with that. Strong leaves with Sheamus and Thatcher in tow.
I like it. You know, building up more of that Strong Mastiff dynamic, that dichotomy. Thank you.
There it is.
Got building there. Building up to the Hell in a Cell match. Hell in a Cell pay-per-view match, I should say.
Yeah, 100%. After that, we got match number one. We got Dominic Mysterio taking on Drake Maverick as maybe like some revenge for last week.
Mm-hmm.
But Drake Maverick does end up winning when Corbin on the outside take. They both have their like Dominic has Rey and Drake has Corbin, of course. And Maverick wins when Corbin takes out Rey Mysterio on the outside and Dominic goes after him. Maverick is able to capitalize on the distraction, hit his finisher, and win the match.
Okay, Drake Maverick getting a win.
I like to think of it like on the outside, Corbin takes out Rey, and then like Dominic slides out of the ring to go chase him, and like Corbin runs in the ring, and Dominic runs in the ring after him, and Corbin slides out, and Dominic runs like right into Maverick, who's waiting for him.
Yeah, Maverick, Drake Maverick.
Mm-hmm. The Maverick, Drake Maverick. Yeah. This is with his aviator sunglasses on constantly.
And his pilot jacket.
Yeah. After that, we have a backstage interview with Kevin Owens about Sami Zayn causing his loss to Seth Rollins last week. Kevin Owens says, "I should have seen it coming. Sami saw an opportunity to try to take me out before our match on Sunday because he knows he won't be able to beat me twice. Sami knows that once I make a mistake in that ring, it doesn't happen again. I made the grave mistake of losing to Sami at WrestleMania, and I plan to write that wrong and put Sami's head on straight. He thinks he's untouchable, but I know he's just a fragile kid gripping to the Universal title like it's some weird sign of approval from the universe that he's doing the right thing. When I beat him and show him what it's like to lose one of the biggest prizes in the WWE, he'll see how far that fall from grace is."
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Kevin. Kevin, calm down, man. Jesus Christ.
I went hard on these promos today, man.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I went fucking in on these promos today.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. There we go.
I was holding nothing back. After that, we have a tag team match between Breezango and Sheamus and Thatcher, and Sheamus and Thatcher pick up the victory.
Okay, okay. Breezango, okay. Heel Breezango's against the heel Sheamus Thatcher.
You know how I just like my matches.
I know. I got you.
Yeah, you know, just building up Sheamus and Thatcher to be like, yeah, you know, this is who Roderick Strong has in his corner coming up on Sunday, you know?
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea.
And being like, oh, no. Oh, no, they're good. Mm-hmm. All right, after that, we have a video package, and it's the Firefly Funhouse music hits, and we fade into a silent Bray Wyatt wearing all black after an uncomfortable silence. And after an uncomfortable silence, he says solemnly, "Hello, my Fireflies. Today is an especially sad day. I got a package in the mail, which usually is a fun surprise, but today it was an upsetting one." He pulls a box. He pulls out a box, and on the outside is Karrion Kross's like X like logo that he has. Mm-hmm. He retrieves a note from the box, and as he begins reading it, we hear Bray's voice fade into Scarlett's voice. "Bray, Fiend, whatever you are, we finally did what we've been saying we were going to do all this time. We destroyed our demon, who happened to be a friend of yours. We wanted to send you a memento of our triumph to let you know that not only did we take out your monster, but that you're next. At Hell in a Cell, we were going to take you out in hopes that your monster would go with you. But now, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, and the motives have changed. We want to destroy the whole family. The Beast, the Tamer, and most importantly, the Fiend himself. So this Sunday, your lineage ends by the hands of Kross." Bray stares at the note sadly. Then slowly, he looks towards the camera and an evil smile forms on his face. "Kross, you want to end me forever? You want to end him forever? Fine. Go ahead and try. But now, the thing is, we no longer have anything left to lose. You made the biggest mistake of your life, destroying my greatest creation, and for that, you are going to pay. On Sunday, you're going to see a side of him that no one has seen before, and you will not be ready. I can assure you that." Bray starts laughing as he reaches into the box and pulls out a black sheep mask. He bends off screen to put it on his face, and when he rises, it's the Fiend with the mask on. The Fiend slowly takes off the mask and screams, "Let me in!" And the camera cuts to black.
I'm very glad that Karrion Kross didn't send Braun Strowman's like attire over to Bray Wyatt in some, like, I'm really glad he sent it in a box and not some sort of garbage bag. I think that would be very important for Karrion Kross to do that. You know, Scarlett. You know, that would be very...
Whoa, did you hear those shots fired?
They're not terrible people, you know? Like, they're not terrible people.
Holy moly. Wow, what a callback. But yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Scarlet Witch, secretly, Mark Carano.
The implication here, basically, was that... you know, we're getting a little dark because I'm just implying that Kross straight up killed Braun Strowman.
It's very Lucha Underground is what just happened.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
Very Lucha Underground. And what sucks even more is that Naomi's going to get the same sort of thing for Lana. And I don't know why Karrion Kross and Scarlett killed Lana, but she's going to get the same thing in her mail.
Jesus Christ. After that, we have a match between Seth Rollins and Elias, with Elias winning. Not going to lie to you, I had this whole card planned out except for one match spot, and hey... sometimes you just need some filler.
That's fine. It's Elias versus someone new. That's all I'm happy about seeing.
Yeah, it's not Elias versus King Corbin again for the 97th time. Mm-hmm. After that, we have a contract signing between AJ and Balor and Authentic for their title match coming up this Sunday Everyone comes to the ring dressed to the nines, and the teams sit across from each other. GM Page is overlooking the signing. She says, "This contract in front of you is to make sure the match at Hell in a Cell between AJ Styles and Finn Balor and the team of Authentic is official. If you have anything left to say or work out, now is the time to do it." AJ grabs a mic and he says, "Gulak, Benjamin, at this point, what's left to say? You two realize there were lots of teams more deserving of this match at Hell in a Cell. Teams that have been together longer, teams that we've had wars with, and teams that are just quite frankly better than you are. So to get ahead, you orchestrated some cowardly attacks so you can cut in line. I don't respect it one bit, but I'm going to sign this contract. Not because I want to have you two in this match, but because I want you to see that Balor and I are champions because we're determined, work our asses off, and respect our opponent's abilities. If you keep looking down on everyone, you won't see what's right in front of you, and that's us. So this Sunday, when we knock you off that high horse you've been on, be prepared to be at the back of the line of this division for a long time." Benjamin gets a little heated and starts standing to meet AJ face-to-face, but Gulak puts a hand on his shoulder, shakes his head no, and Benjamin sits down, and Gulak grabs a mic in response. He says, "So champs, you think we're just a flash in the pan. You think Authentic doesn't deserve a shot at your titles. You preach about how we look down on our opponents and underestimate everyone while you're throwing that right back in our faces. You clearly don't respect us and have been underestimating us from the start. So before you talk to anyone about respecting opponents, why don't you just try it yourself sometime? To get the point into your tiny brain, let me speak 100% authentically."
Nice. On Sunday, very nice.
"On Sunday, come Hell in a Cell, when we're standing over your beaten bodies in that ring, holding those championships over our head, we're going to show you and everyone that Authentic is no joke." Both teams sign the contract, and the match is set.
There we go. There we go, folks. We got...
It is official.
I love it. The Authentic speaking authentically is very funny to me. I love it so much.
It had to be a line at some point, right?
Yeah, I like that. I just think that's so fucking funny. Yeah, no, I like the contract signing. I think, you know, you're setting up contract signing with Balor and Nate Styles for the Authentic. I feel like... Weirdly enough, Authentic might have the best chance of winning the titles off of Balor and Styles. But I'm also not...
Why do you think that?
They've been on a hot streak lately. It does feel like something that you might have put the titles on for. Like, you might put the titles on for them because you've been building up like this. Mm-hmm. But I also don't... I could also make an argument of not doing it. But then I'm also like, well, then if not them, who...
Greg Hoomst.
So I don't know. I'm in between, I guess.
Fair enough. After that contract signing, we have match number four. We got Carmella taking on Piper Niven, the number one contender for Sonya Deville's women's championship. And Piper Niven gets the win. And during this match, Sonya is on commentary. After Piper Niven wins, Sonya comes to the ring with a mic as Niven celebrates. She stares Niven up and down. She, like, fakes to go to say something and then drops the mic and goes to throw a punch.
Ooh.
But then Niven is able to block it and fire a shot back, which takes Sonya down. Before she can follow up, Sonya is able to escape the ring, and she goes to walk back up the ramp, and she's, like, while she's, like, walking backwards up the ramp, like, staring at Niven.
Mm-hmm.
And what she doesn't see is an awaiting Toni Storm.
Yeah.
She backs into Toni Storm, who meets her on the ramp, throws her back in the ring, and Niven hits her finisher and is able to stand tall above Sonya.
I like it. I wish Sonya Deville maybe got more heat on her before you get the redemption of Toni Storm in there. Like, I think that would, because you don't want Storm and Niven to come off heelish, like, because you know, you got a numbers game there. So I wish Sonya Deville maybe had some more heat there.
I tried to do that heat by her trying to throw a cheap shot,
but she doesn't get it. She doesn't get the, you know, she doesn't get it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that was, I thought the attempt might be enough, you know?
I understand. But yeah, Piper Niven, I think, unlike Authentic, I think Piper Niven has a better odds in my head of winning the title off of Sonya Deville.
Very interesting.
I think Piper Niven, like, will, the question is, Mikey likes Piper Niven. Mikey has been pushing Piper Niven constantly and consistently, and has always made Piper Niven look good in whatever she's in. So will Mikey put the title on Piper Niven the first opportunity he awards himself? This is my question. These are my riddles three.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll find out this Sunday.
These are my riddles three, so I guess we'll just see. Guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I guess we'll just... Anyway. These are my riddles three, so I guess we'll just watch.
Anyway, the main event. It's time for the main event. We announced it last week. It is Bliss Cross taking on Charlotte Flair and Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Tag Team Champion. Or that's not the SmackDown, for the Women's Tag Team Championships. I'm so used to saying SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Yeah.
That I just assumed I had to say SmackDown beforehand, but I keep forgetting that the women's tag teams are interbrand.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. It is the main event. Bliss Cross taking on Charlotte Flair and Natalya. And in this one, Flair and Natalya pick up the victory.
Of course. Retain those titles, ladies. I like it.
Yes. Flair and Natalya pick up the victory, retain those titles against an ever-resilient Bliss Cross.
Yeah, a short little feud for Bliss Cross here. Yeah. I think it makes sense. It works. Gives another win underneath the title belts of Flair and Natalya.
Yep, keep those women's tag team titles in everyone's minds. Keep them in the picture so we can build up another feud afterwards.
Yes, the question is who? Do I have anyone prepared on the Raw side?
I would say, do you have any Raw roster? Because we just said these titles are interbrand, so do you have anyone prepared on the Raw roster?
Can maybe...
If not, I'm sure I can come up with something.
I can probably put together some sort of Randy or Dana Brooks situation, but I also got Money in the Bank coming up, so I don't think it's much of a concern for either of us right now. Well, I should say, we have Money in the Bank coming up, assuming all things turn out well, unlike last time where I got screwed over.
Where we thought it was Money in the Bank, but it wasn't.
Jesus. I think Money in the Bank has now been confirmed. I think that was part of like the touring announcement. I'm going to look that up. Money in the Bank 2021. I could also maybe do Asuka and Io Shirai, but, you know, I guess we'll see. Money in the Bank 2021.
Yes,
is scheduled to take place July 18th.
There we go. It's confirmed, it seems.
Thank Christ. Thank Christ. Solid SmackDown, Mikey. I think you had a solid SmackDown here.
Thank you.
I think, you know, you put together the heat a little bit more for the pay-per-view. You know,
that's the idea. It's the go-home show, baby. Gotta get everyone... Gotta make sure everyone gets their wallets out to buy it.
Yeah, go out and buy it. Or for you lucky listeners, you don't have to buy anything. All you have to do is god dang listen to Hit the Books.
Yeah, all you gotta do is stay subscribed and you'll hear it this Sunday.
What was the date I said? July what?
18th for Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank was July 18th. July 18th. Okay, where are we? Okay, it was supposed to be Extreme Rules, and I guess it's now Money in the Bank. So we got Money in the Bank, and then we have SummerSlam immediately after that.
Okay, interesting.
That's what we got. That's what we got on the docket. Okay, then. There we go. Mikey, I think it was, like I said, solid card. I think you built up some stuff. You also had, unlike me, I did not do it whatsoever. I think I did it with two acts, and it was you built up outside matches and feuds that are not pertaining to the pay-per-view, whereas I basically only did it. Like, the only other thing I had was, like, LLC and kind of the Garza Rose thing. But, like, you had other things going on. Like, you say that you put in Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins got a solid win over Kevin Owens, then a win over Elias here. Rollins starting to get built up. Where is he getting built up to? What's happening with him? I'm interested.
I think that's the... I think that's the idea, right? Where it's like build up stuff for after Hell in a Cell in the matches. My idea for this was build it up in the matches for later, like build up different things for later and post Hell in a Cell in the matches, but in the promos, get promos are basically all Hell in a Cell related, right?
Yeah,
they're all about the Hell in a Cell feuds. We have every match represented in some way.
Yeah,
on this card, in terms of promos and or matches or whatever.
Yeah,
and that was the idea, right? It's like start getting ideas in people's heads for what comes next after Hell in a Cell, but also be like, hey, Hell in a Cell still Sunday.
Hell in a Cell still Sunday. That's too many words for me.
Get people excited for Hell in a Cell and for what comes next.
Yes. Very nice, Mikey. That is it for us here, but we got one more thing before we go.
Of course,
on Twitter, at countoutpod.com, at countoutpod on Twitter, you can now vote on who you thought put together the better card. Who will win the best Booker Award for this week's episode? You can then vote right now, all weekend long, on Twitter, at countoutpod. It'll be the pinned tweet at the top of our homepage there on Twitter. But you will be able to vote on who you believe had the better card. Was it me with Raw? Was it Mikey with SmackDown? You will be able to decide. My cat is joining us as well. He's joining me on the lap. He's stepping on my keyboard. He turned on caps lock. What do you have to say? Jude, what do you have to say? Oh, look at this cutie. Look at this little cutie.
Adorable.
He just walked up into my arms.
Cute.
The cutest cat award.
Just wants attention.
You can win the you can also vote on who gets the cutest cat award. Is it Jude or is it Jude? What do you think, Jude? What do you think? Love you. All right, so that is that. But before we go, Mikey, it's time to hit the randomizer on the loser of the award last week. Are you ready for that, my friend?
I'm not, but you know, I have to be.
So let's find out who was the winner of the Best Booker Award last week. All right, the results are in, Mikey, and the winner was SmackDown. Mikey, you win the Best Booker Award. Speech.
I'd like to thank the big man upstairs. I'd like to thank
my dad.
I'd like to thank my dad. I'd like to thank the Academy. You know, I'd like to thank all the people who supported me on this ride. Thanks so much for all of your support, and I just want to accept this Best Booker Award for this week, and as humbly as I can, even though I'm better than Raw and Ryan knows it.
Wow. I think more celebrities should go on stage and be like, yeah, I deserve to win this. I was the best actor this year.
I would say more celebrities need to be heels about it and just be like MJF and be like, I'm better than you and you know it.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, yeah, you win. The audience have voted, so congratulations, Mikey. I don't like it, but congratulations. Hit the randomizer, I guess. Let's find out. What's happening to Raw right before a pay-per-view? Oh, boy.
Let's see. Let's roll that randomizer on you. Ryan, your randomizer result is going to be that you have to. I'm stalling while it loads.
Of course.
You got... Uh-oh. Double booked.
What?
Hit the randomizer twice for two random actions.
Oh, no.
So, Ryan, you're getting hit hard, baby.
No.
Let's see what your two results are. Okay. So, your first result is cut a match. Someone went over their match length, and now you have to cut a match to hit that 2-hour mark.
Well.
Or I guess in your case, 3-hour mark, but...
Yeah, we've been kind of playing with 2-hour mark.
You get the point.
I'm cutting the women's match.
I was gonna say while you're thinking, but it looked like you were pretty decided on that.
First off, while you're laughing about the second option, I'm gonna cut the women's match because the you know, I could cut the gauntlet match, but that was basically three matches, so I have to come up with so much more stuff. And that also doesn't make sense whatsoever. And I could also cut the battle royal, but I'm setting up for that pay per view match, and also for the later in the show. So it's kind of necessary, and sadly, the women's match isn't, which sucks because that's the only women's anything on the show, and I hate doing that. I don't want to do that.
Well, Ryan, I have good news for you because your second result is and a match.
Yeah, baby! Let's put that Io Shirai Mandy Rose shit back on! That is the most indirect way to get a nothing happens. Oh my god, I'm
incredible. The randomizer knew exactly what. As soon as I saw cut a match come up, I was like, oh my god, please. And oh man, it knew exactly what I wanted. You got cut a match first, and then you got add a match. So literally, after all of that, nothing happened.
I Holy love it. Moly. What are the odds, dude?
Holy
it's,
moly.
It's, what, 1 in 44 times 1 in 44? I think that's how you do numbers.
Duh.
1 times 44... Or is it 1 divided by 44? Yeah, 1 in 44. Like, what are the sheer odds that something like that happens? That is insane. According to this...
That is so funny.
What is that, 0.05% chance of happening?
Holy moly, that is hilarious.
That is... hundredth of a percent?
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance, my dude.
Holy moly. All right, well, we handled that.
I love it. Okay, those were our results. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode. Mikey, anything to plug?
Go check out Independent Waters every Wednesday here on the Countdown Network, where me and Zach Batista take you through the independent wrestling scene and bring back matches for you to watch, for us to review. We've been doing the show for a while. We love doing it. We love reviewing. We love watching all this independent wrestling. It's just such like a cool change from all the TV wrestling that's happening. Not to say that some TV wrestling is bad, some isn't, but indies is just so special. So if you are brand new to the indie scene, it's good for you. If you have been around for a while, I think you'll love it. So it is just a great podcast if you want to get into the independent wrestling scene, or if you've just been a hardcore fan for years. We love doing it, and we love reviewing matches, so go check that out. And
are you guys gonna review the eventual Braun Strowman independent PWG Bola match?
I can't wait to review independent Braun Strowman matches and Tommy End matches. Those will be great.
Yeah, but some promoter finds a way to spend $15,000 on Braun Strowman.
But yeah, so go check that out if you're into independent wrestling. And if you have any match suggestions, send them to our Twitter at CountOutPod, and we'll shout you out on the show.
You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Knightsey. You can also listen to our show G1 and Only, and all the rest of our shows on CountOut Network. Should have said this at the top of the show as well, but we are still in the process of collecting pre-orders, I believe, by the time this episode comes out.
Yes.
Double check. Yes, we are still in the process of collecting pre-orders for our Count Out Network t-shirts, our inaugural Count Out Network t-shirt. We finally got the merch store up and running on countoutpod.com. So if you want to head over there, there's the store page where you can download and get the... order the pre-order for our t-shirt. Very soft, very comfortable.
You wouldn't download a t-shirt.
I like to download t-shirts and to sort of a 3D print them onto my body. But, pre-order the t-shirt from CountOutPod. We're collecting pre-orders up until June 23rd. And hopefully we'll get those out by the beginning of July. We'll get a more exact date when that production of the t-shirt start happening. But pre-order some of those shirts. We greatly appreciate it. They're at a sale price now. They'll get bumped up when the pre-orders are over. So you want to make sure you get that t-shirt right away. It's a very soft material. I don't remember the name of that material, but it's like that sort of soft t-shirt material that everyone kind of knows. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. I'm a big texture guy, so I want to make sure. Screen printed on, very nice shirt. I greatly enjoyed it. I think it's beautiful. I think that it has a solid logo onto it as well. Thanks, Mikey. Mm-hmm. So definitely go pre-order that. 25 bones on the CountOut store page. So go head over and do that. Maybe we'll drop, Mikey, if you remember, drop a link in the description as well.
Yes.
So you can pre-order those there. And so, thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Go pre-order those shirts. It'll really help the network a lot. It'll help us grow and put out more awesome content for you guys.
Yeah, and also I want to make sure we get other merch eventually, but it's just one of those things
This shirt is hopefully the start of a whole line of CountOut merch that we have. We have so many ideas for different kinds of merch that we want to get to you guys.
Yeah, the idea being that there needs to be sort of a startup to the store. So if you pre-order the shirts, we'll be able to start getting out more merch eventually and start going from there. So that's the whole idea.
Get that ball rolling.
We want to get the ball rolling. So help us get the ball rolling and help get more merch for you cool cats to be on board with and help us all out. It's a win-win for everybody. So definitely go get that shirt today. Pre-order, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of Hit the Books. We'll be back next, or this Sunday, with our pay-per-view special of Hell in a Cell. But until then, we've got two words for you.
Book it.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.